We've been monitoring the confrontation between anti-Mubarak protesters and pro-government supporters in Cairo. So what happens next? As we know, President Hosni Mubarak announced he would not run again in September elections, but also that he wouldn't step down. He said he would die on Egyptian soil. And now, as protesters clash with his supporters, opposition leaders are divided. A second day of talks among opposition groups fell apart yesterday as youth groups disagreed with leaders of established political parties over whether to talk with Mubarak's new vice president, Omar Suleiman. Well, our next guest says in Egypt's transition, keep an eye on all of the institutional players, not just the military, the youth groups, the political parties, such as the banned Muslim Brotherhood, but business leaders. Political scientist Paul Barron is with Harvard University's Center for Middle Eastern Studies. And Paul, first to the people we're seeing in the streets. We just heard them described as longtime thugs. Other reports say possibly police who've removed their uniforms. Does that ring true to you?
Hi, Robin. Yes, it does ring true to me from my experience as a student of Egypt and living there. Certainly in past presidential elections, 2005, past parliamentary elections, 2005 and before, the employment of organized thuggery, using violence in very graphic ways to suppress election turnout or to suppress political opposition to the ruling National Democratic Party is quite common.
Well, but we also heard our professor acknowledge that our professor in Cairo acknowledged that there are people in Cairo who are tired of this. There's no food. There's, you know, no cash. Banks are closed. They want stability. You say look to business leaders as people who will help map out where the country goes from here. Which way will they go? Will they go with the millions of people who seem to want Mubarak to leave immediately? Or will they go with people who may be against Mubarak but are thinking, you know what, this has gone too far?
That's a good question, Robin. I think it's too simplistic to frame it as an either-or. I think the goals of business and business leaders are for certain things. The military has its own goals and aspirations. The bureaucracy, those of the ruling National Democratic Party, the protesters seeking to remove President Mubarak. And I think what we have to do is look at the way this constellation of actors is changing and moving in response to events on the ground. Included in this, we have to add the international community. You know, Mubarak has predicated some of his legitimacy to rule not on the support of the broad population of Egypt, but on the idea that he brings stability. And I think we see this being replayed in a graphic way right now in Tahrir Square.
Well, some people are saying that, in fact, the military has been instructed not to interfere so that there will appear to be all this upset so that the military can then step in and put it down. But we know that the military has seemed to, at least in some anecdotal stories, side with the protesters. And last night, the military announced to the protesters, you've made your point. There's going to be change. Time to go home.
Yes. I think the shifting role of the military is an important one to watch as we try to read the tea leaves about what happens next. I don't think a path is clear for them. And it's what is clear to me is that the military is increasingly acting as an independent actor and is going to follow and pursue what it feels is best for itself. And that may be different than the ruling party, that may be different than President Mubarak, and that may be different than the protesters. But I think we're going to see a role change for the military.
And who leads the opposition? We read in the Wall Street Journal, Ryan Crocker writing, that Mohammed al-Baradei, who's the former ambassador to Iraq, of course, a Nobel Peace Prize-winning diplomat, but also someone who's stepped in as, you know, a symbol of the opposition, is no Vaclav Havel. That's what Ryan Crocker writes, of course, referring to the Czech dissident.
Right.
Is that, you know, we hear that a lot when there is uprising. There's no Vaclav Havel. There's no, you know, this is not South Africa. Is that one of the issues Egypt is confronting, that there isn't that person, or do you think al-Baradei is?
I think it's very hard to tell from our vantage point here. On the ground certainly would give a different vantage point. Mm-hmm. I think what we can say is we know that the activists who have been mounting the campaign to remove President Mubarak have been doing and have been engaged with this for a number of years. This didn't just start in January of 2011. The April 6th movement, for instance, started in 2008. Before that, the Kifaya movement started in the mid thousands. And before that, we had opposition parties who were more active and able to be active. And so this movement is being pushed forward from a variety of standpoints. I don't think there is one, or there doesn't seem to be emerging one leader. There seems to be a figurehead, a spokesperson, which is Mohamed El-Baradei. But there are a variety of groups, I feel, that are going to act in their interest to try to push an agenda their way. I think what's very important is that we don't get into the trap of starting to label this as a stability or democracy fight or a West versus the Islamist understanding. I think that's really false.
Yeah.
I think that watching the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is watching a political grouping just like watching the Waft Party, the 6th of April group, the Kifaya movement, or others.
In other words, you're giving the same weight to the Muslim Brotherhood as you are to all these other secular opposition groups, and as we have been for a week and a half now. Paul Barron, just what do you think happens now after this day in which suddenly there's violence, there's bloodshed? We have about a minute left. We were, you know, thinking we'd be talking about who leads from here out, but how much is that set back because of the violence today?
Yes, I think judging who leads from here next, the established regime, I think, is very powerful and will continue to be in power. Whether or not President Mubarak has any kind of the same authority he had in the past is something to look at. Probably he won't. But you know, Robin, the use of regime violence against the people of Egypt is not new. And this is something that has been a hallmark of keeping this regime in power for the last 30 years.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if one thing that's different is that we're all watching it around the clock.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Political scientist Paul Barron, outreach director at Harvard University Center for Middle Eastern Studies. We hope to keep you close in the next few days. Thank you so much.
Thank you.